All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789, Texas, that same number. Sandy Williams is on the line, and I'm glad he is. You know, Sandy, I don't know how many times or how differently you can say it, but internally in our nation, it's where the real threat is. And anybody who doesn't seem to understand that, if you think that the only way to solve that threat is the same way you look internationally and you want us to be strong militarily, it's just like you want people want us to be strong with law enforcement. And it's the same mentality, you know, strength through, you know, force. And that doesn't always work. That's not always the best solution. And anybody who pushes back against that somehow is anti-American. But we've got to come to the point where these discussions that you've been talking about for a long time, Sandy, and I, you know, there are times that I'm out and people say, well, you're anti-American. You and Sandy, you're always talking about our country. And I'm saying, what do you mean talking about our country? Isn't that what is supposed to separate our nation from other nations, Sandy, that we can have the open dialogue about things? Well, why should we be, you know, neutered when clearly what's based on what our economy, our Constitution says, we have the right to have these conversations. Why wouldn't we?
Well, I mean, two things. One, of course, we have the right to have the conversation, and that's one of the reasons that you and I love this country,
right?
Because, you know, it permits us
to. Right.
But the point of the conversation is to improve America. It's to make it better. It's because of our love of country that we want it to be the place that that it could be, and not the place that it might actually be, because it's flawed. You and I are flawed. Everybody, every human being is flawed, and every country has flaws, and we have flaws. If we as a country are unwilling to recognize that we have any flaws, then, you know, the notion that most of us learn in religion that humans are flawed and that we're all on a quest to be better and to serve one another better. I don't understand. I don't understand the instinct that Americans have, this notion of exceptionalism that requires that we think of every element of our society as being perfect.
Yeah, it's certainly not that. When you can't start with the fact that inside of your own nation, that people struggle, and you say, well, it's because people are struggling. They live in this country and they're struggling because they're failures and they're just not working hard enough. But if you look then again and say, as you have been pointing out, you know, Sandy, about where we are and that our business cycle is changing, the people don't know that the business cycle is changing. The people aren't aware that when a business cycle changes, in many instances, we don't even know the process of the business cycle. But we're at the whim of that business cycle. Go ahead.
Yeah, and you know, the business people do know that there are business cycles. Every business plans for the cycle and tries to have contingency plans and arrangements for their financing that will accommodate the business cycle. And everyone understands the impact of the business cycle on the people. And why have we not built a society and a socioeconomic system and a political system that will help the people work through and survive in the business cycle? In the 1970s, people survive business cycles far better because their health care that they received from, for instance, you from A.O. Smith, right, didn't lapse when you were laid off.
That's correct. That's correct.
So you didn't suffer the disaster of a loss of health care because you were laid off in a system in which it continued. And And in today's world, that isn't the case when people, because most people don't get laid off, they simply get released.
Right.
And they get released into a circumstance when there is, where there is no health care, or they are already employed in a circumstance in which they must buy their own health care, so that when they get laid off, they don't have the money to pay for their health care, and they don't have the money to pay for daycare.
You know, Sandy, I don't know if it was so much that the business community was so benevolent as it was that there was a union that negotiated and on behalf, an organized effort of people who could push back against the corporations and say, look, this is what we need. That's missing today.
Yes. I mean, yes, it is missing. And I think that, you know, unfortunately, what Karl Marx predicted, which was that labor would be exploited by the owners of businesses, has to some extent occurred, maybe inadvertently, but many business models have become built on the notion that they will use part-time laborers to avoid the payment of benefits. You know, they lots of businesses hire people and tell them you're never going to work more than 36 hours a week, and we're going to enforce that because we want to make sure we don't have to pay you benefits. And many of those people are working at minimum wage jobs or not much above minimum wage. And so the clear implication of that is we're going to employ you, but incidentally, you won't be able to afford health care, and we're not going to give you health care, and you're not going to be able to afford child daycare. So you better have figured that one out.
You know,
there is no figuring that out.
You know, Sandy, there's also businesses that will let somebody go before they're able to claim unemployment. They haven't worked enough weeks to even get unemployment. I mean, I've seen some situations that are heartbreaking. Mm-hmm. You know, so when they're laid off, that's it. They didn't get enough weeks in. They're a week or two short. And so you got to talk about that, right? I mean, you can't just continue to say, well, the business is right. And so the business protects itself, but to hell with the citizens, with the people who make up the country. But that's where we are. And there are not a lot of, you know, shows, to be honest, that talk like you and I. And not even on the national level, Sandy. You know, you and I listen to others, and there's not a lot of these kinds of dialogues going on because, for whatever reason, and this is to the credit of the owner of this radio station, he gives us the freedom and latitude to have these kinds of discussions that you won't get many other places.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I think and maybe we'll talk about it the next hour, but I think that with this confluence of circumstances right now, a war in Ukraine draining our resources in the direction of expenditures on the military, at the same time as we have inflation and a probable recession, might wake our political process up to the process of realizing that, number one, our military expenditures make it very difficult for us to solve social problems in our country. And two, we have social problems in this country that need to be solved. And if they were solved, we could work our way through business cycles in a better way. So, you know, maybe the lemonade out of this could be a political awareness that we need to create a safety net system, a viable safety net system in our country to support a vibrant economy.
All right, Sandy, and listen, audience, I got to run. I'm going to a graduation. Sandy's going to take it in from here. Sandy, have you done any solo flying yet?
On this show?
Yeah, I'm joking.
Yeah, I'm going to be that pilot. I'm going to call ground control and say, I've never landed one of these.
Right. I'll see you guys on Friday. Thank you.
Yeah.
Sandy will take it from here. Be right back.